You were born with individual strengths and a unique purpose. Don't let fears, false beliefs, or life's happenings diminish your influence. It's time to live and lead for impact. Host Kirsten Ross, expert of transformation, will help you defeat the drama and overcome the trauma that can stop you in your tracks. You'll gain focus, find confidence, and take bold action. Unleash passionate, purposeful you. Let's go.
Welcome to Live and Lead for Impact. I'm Kirsten Ross, your host, and this is episode number 140. Today, I'm going to be continuing in the series called F It for Impact. And today is the fourth in that series. And so far, I've covered fueling your fortitude. So in that one, I talked about how to overcome the challenge of asking yourself over and over, should I quit? So giving you some strategies to help you avoid wasting time on that common question. I encourage you to go back and listen to episode 134 if you missed that one. Then in episode 136, I talked about forming your foundations. So how do you add structure into your day when you're working for yourself rather than others? If this is new to you, how do you create the clear expectations and hold yourself accountable? Then I talked about fulfilling your commitments, the importance of minimizing your wiggle room so that you'll be very intentional with what you commit to. This will help you say yes and no appropriately. It's an important skill to have if you're going to be working for yourself. It's really an important skill for anything that you're working towards, any goal you're trying to set. You need to be able to say yes to the things that move you towards your goals and no to the things that don't. So if we allow too many others to dictate all of our time because we are hesitant to say no when we need to, then others will dictate all of our time. All of our time will be filled. If you take away your wiggle room, you'll be super intentional and more inclined to ask those clarifying questions when someone asks you to help them with something or take over a project. You'll want to know, wait a minute, exactly what am I committing to? Because if you instead decide that you are absolutely going to follow through in your commitments, you're going to make sure that you can, versus avoiding that person for the rest of your life or feeling guilty or dropping the ball. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking about fending off fear and false beliefs. Because the truth is, a lot of what stands in the way of us continuing to make our important impact lies between our ears. We are filled with fears that can stop us, paralyze us, and all those false beliefs of I'm not good enough, this isn't for me, other people have way more skills than I do, what the heck was I thinking? You know, it's common. We all have these kind of innate fears that can bubble up. A lot of it boils down to disappointing others, fear of not looking good, fear of failure, feeling useless, fearing what someone might think of us, fearing that they'll be angry, upset, disappointed. So let's look at some of the areas where lies can pop up. I'm going to talk about the lies about ourselves, lies about others, and lies about our circumstance that can get in the way of us making our impact. So the first is the lies about ourselves. And again, this is a uniform thing that we have, that little voice in our head that pops up with, you know, what we hear might be different, but there are definitely common themes. So I'm worthless. I'm a loser. I'm stupid. I'm ugly. I'm not good enough. I'm a sham. I'm invisible. We can't really turn off that voice, but we don't have to listen. We don't have to let it win. One strategy to use when that voice is getting a little louder is to simply say stop or delete or I am not in agreement with that or no. Words of affirmation are also really helpful. So if one of yours is I'm stupid, write on a sticky note or put it on your phone or on your laptop. Stick that note on your mirror where you're going to see it often or somewhere in your car where you see it daily. I am intelligent. I'm perfectly made for this work. So come up with affirmations that work in the opposite direction of that little voice that's happening in your head. Next are the lies that we can believe or hear about others that, again, kind of happen in our head. It's the stories that we tell ourselves when we don't have facts. So I call it living in the world of assumption. And let's say you reach out to someone a couple times. Maybe you want to connect with them, see if they'd like to jump on board to help you make your impact, or they'd be a strong connection to help you, you know, learn some things. And they're not following up with you. They're not getting back. What's the story that you tell yourself about that? That's the lie about others. Because in the absence of fact, we, like I said, go into the world of assumption, and we're the ones who create that story. And so often, for some reason, as humans, we don't create positive assumptions when people aren't behaving the way we wish they would. And so we might say, you know, they don't think I'm good enough. They think they're better than me. They don't care about me. They think I'm stupid, you know, and really, or they're not interested in what I'm trying to share. All those things that we tell ourselves that can help us feel really horrendous, actually, and aren't based in fact. And so what I encourage you to do, if that's the lie that's swirling in your head when people aren't getting back to you, or you're reading emotion into your email, maybe what they sent back to you in a text or email or a Facebook message, you're adding emotion as if, oh my gosh, they're annoyed, or oh my gosh, I'm getting in their way, or they don't want to hear from me anymore, or they're not interested. So a couple things. One, try in the absence of fact to instead create assumptions that are positive. Wow, they must be really busy. I know they're going to be really interested in talking to me once they have the time. Why create stories that make you feel worse about your circumstance when either way they're not based in fact? Might as well come up with something positive. And then the second strategy is don't add emotion to your digital communication. Again, we as humans are used to using nonverbal cues to determine someone's mood. Most of our communication actually happens nonverbally. But when we're engaging in digital communication, all of that is missing. So what do? We try to read between the lines of black words on an email or in a text or a Facebook message, and we assign this emotion through those words, trying to fill in the blanks where the nonverbal communication of body language and tone of voice and all of that is absent. And again, as humans, we tend to assign negative assumption to the emotion that we're attaching to our digital communication. And just avoid that. It's just another way that you can drive yourself crazy and make yourself feel worse. And they're just lies. You don't know how the person is feeling. When I've shared this information as I'm doing presentations, this one key thing is where people really have their aha moments. Oh my gosh. And they'll tell me, here's an email that I got. What do you think? And I say, I think that if you just looked at the facts of what's in the email, that none of that emotion exists. I've also worked with teams where there's a disconnect between team members. Maybe they're even feuding, and it's all based on the emotion that each of them is reading into the digital communication. So reading that emotion in fuels way too much negative emotion, fear, and ignites those false beliefs. So with your digital communication, if you're feeling like someone's frustrated with you, or that you think, oh my gosh, they feel like I'm wasting their time, they don't have time for me, any of those stories that are kicking up in your head, pick up the phone or go see them if you can. Try to actually hear their voice, connect with them, and better yet, see eye to eye so that you have the full benefit of their entire nonverbal communication. If you're not able to do that, then again, in this instance too, tell yourself a story that everything's fine, they're not frustrated, and just look at the words on the page and don't add in that negative emotion. Another area of lies is lies about our circumstance. I don't live in the right area to make this impact. I don't come from the right place. I don't have the right education. I'm not around the right people. I don't have the right friends. I don't have the right connections. All those kinds of things that can stop us in our tracks that, again, don't have to. I use this illustration sometimes because it's a time when my youngest son, actually it was my oldest son, when he was little, had a fear of his circumstance. that just grew and grew and grew. And that's what fear does. And so the lie that he told himself was that thunderstorms are always dangerous. And I watched this fear, this lie in him get bigger and bigger. And it made his life smaller and smaller. And as I tell you this story, I want you to think about where you might be doing the same thing as your lies get bigger and bigger. So when he was little, we did have an experience where we were in the car during a very bad storm. And after that, you know, he had this fear of being in thunderstorms. But what happened over time is then he started to be afraid if there was rain, because with rain might come thunder and lightning. So he was afraid, and we had a pool, and he kept going in the basement in the summer. So if it rained, he was down in the basement. Then he started to be afraid if there were clouds, because clouds might bring rain. Rain might bring thunder and lightning. So if it got cloudy, he would go in the basement. Then he started to be afraid if the circumstance was wind, because wind might bring in the clouds. Clouds might bring the rain. Rain might bring the thunder and lightning. So if it got windy, he'd have to go in the basement. So he was beginning to spend more and more time in a basement during beautiful days with friends over, where he could have been in the pool enjoying his time. His life got smaller and smaller that summer. Now, I'm happy to report that over time, he worked his way backwards. He started staying outside and realized that wind is fine. All was safe. Then when there were clouds, it was fine. And then even when it sprinkled or even rained, you could duck under. You know, we had some cover out there and some umbrellas. He could duck under, or, you know, if it started raining a little more, he could go inside, but he didn't have to go in the basement. And then he didn't always have to even go in the basement. Yeah, he had to get safe during a thunderstorm, but it didn't have to mean going into the basement. He had to work his way backwards from the fear, the false belief, the lie that was telling him that he was in danger when he really wasn't. So where are you doing that while you're working towards your impact? Are there things, activities, places that you're avoiding, people that you're avoiding, having conversations with that you really need to, that your impact is smaller than it otherwise could be? I want you to look at that, because the truth about fear is the only way to make it smaller is to bust through it. If we let the lies win, they just get bigger and they can expand like the blob, overtaking all. And as I said, most of our fears come from some basic human fears that we all have, we all share. And it's fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of success. What do I do if I get really, really big and a lot of people know about what I'm up to? How will I manage my time and what will happen? Fear of the unknown, fear of judgment, which underlying that is humiliation, looking bad, shame, and fear of death. So we share all those, but where do all these lies come from that go flying through our brain that become these false beliefs that can drive our lives? Well, you've probably heard the term lizard brain. That's our amygdala. So for most of us, our brain makes up only about 3% of our total body weight, but it uses 20% of the energy of our entire body. And I'm going to hazard to say that sometimes our brain's using even more than that, because doesn't it kick into overdrive at times? Well, our amygdala, this little almond-shaped small part of our brain, has a really important function, and it is to keep us safe. But it was designed at a time when, you know, think back to when we were as humans living in caves and there were saber-toothed tigers around and cliffs around a corner that was unknown. And so our amygdala, our lizard brain, the whole job is to maintain everything the same. Don't get out of your comfort zone, because out of your comfort zone may be something so dangerous that you could die or be maimed. And so that's kind of the origin of this. So it plays an important role. We can't turn it off, but sometimes it's the reaction that we're having is way bigger than it needs to be, because cold calling someone probably isn't going to lead to your death. I'm going to hazard to say. A lot of the things that we're afraid of when we're working to make our impact, it may be uncomfortable. They're new. They're getting us out of our comfort zone. We're trying new things. We're talking to people that make us uncomfortable, that we look up to, like, oh my gosh, why would that person talk to me? But again, our lives aren't in danger. Our safety isn't in danger. But our amygdala kind of doesn't know that. And so the response that we're having in our body to our amygdala popping off with all these lies, and I call them lies because, you know, the amygdala doesn't say, like, look out, danger, danger, danger. It comes up with reasons why we shouldn't want to do what we're trying to do to make our impact. So it's going to say they don't want to hear from you. You know, that's going to be the thought that flies through your head. It's not going to say, oh my gosh, your life's in danger if you call that person. No, it becomes excuses that sound realistic, but really aren't. And you see, incoming information flies through our amygdala. So it has to pass through. And then that's what's looking to say, like, is your life in danger? Is there possible peril here? Is this something new? So it's something that we have to overcome. So I'm going to encourage you to get in the habit of letting those thoughts, those lies, kind of slide across your brain. And then, you know, if you're not in a dark alley or somewhere where you might be in true danger, let it pass. You don't have to listen. I mean, before I make phone calls, very often I have to tell myself, yep, it's uncomfortable. Gonna do it anyway. And I encourage you to do the same. You don't have to let your lizard win. I still remember the time when my oldest son, was going to be in a church performance, and they'd been performing for weeks, but the set hadn't been designed yet. And the night before the first dress rehearsal, which was only, you know, a few hours before the first performance, and they were going to be about 10 or 12 or something, they finally had the set built, and he realized how high he was going to have to climb for part of his role. And he lay in his bed that night saying, Mom, I don't think I can do this. I'm way too afraid. And he was thinking about saying, I can't do it. He was going to quit. And we had this conversation about safety and that I would not allow him to do it if he wasn't going to be safe, and that he was going to be in a harness and they had all the equipment necessary to keep him safe. And that if he didn't do it, and I was going to leave it up to him, he would never know what it would be like to bust that fear. But if he stuck with it and did bust the fear, the feeling of triumph that he had coming to him on the other side of it. And that's the other truth about fear. So we can let it win and let it get bigger, or we can bust through it and feel the feeling of exhilaration of overcoming it. There is such triumph in that. I'm happy to report that that's what he did. The next day we got up and they let him play catch as he swung at the top of the rafters, way up in the air in this harness. They were throwing him a ball. He was catching. He was laughing. And I will tell you, by the end of all those performances, they were having to ask him to pretend to be afraid. He was starting to dip his foot over the edge with his shoe untied and kind of laughing up there. And they said, we need you to be, you know, act a little more afraid so that there's more suspense for the audience. And that's the beauty of busting our fears. It feels so good on the other side. And what feels impossible is suddenly super simple. So here are some key strategies to help you fend off your fears and your false beliefs. 1, name your lizard. So we all have one. That lizard part of your brain that is trying its darndest to keep you alive and has a good function, but just kind of oversteps the bounds in this kind of life. Name the lizard. Find something funny or silly. You can kind of talk to your lizard, you know, whether it's Bernard or Lucy or whatever name you come up with. Then you can say, not now, Herbert. Thank you, Herbert, but I can't listen to you right now. I've got impact to make. The next thing is write down your lies. List them out. Like I said, you can come up with affirmations that work against those lies, but there's going to be patterns to the lies that you hear, and then start taking action that busts them. So actual action or the affirmations to overcome the list of lies that you create. and then assume to ignite action. So remember, in lots of situations when you're in the world of assumption, you don't have to create negative assumptions. You can think the best. So instead of thinking they're ignoring me because they're mad at me, or they don't think I'm worthy of their time, or they think they're better than me, instead say, wow, they can't wait to talk to me, but they're way too busy. I'm so looking forward to having this conversation. So why come up with assumptions that quiet you, make you fearful, make you feel bad, and stop you in your tracks to making your impact? When you're the one who's creating the story, you might as well create one that serves you and your impact. So that's all for today. I kind of covered quite a bit of information, so I hope you found some good tips in there to help you bust those fears and false beliefs so you can get on with the important work of making your impact. If I can help you with anything, please reach out. I would love to hear from you. Go to defeatthedrama.com, click on the podcast tab, and send me a message. I'd love to hear what you're up to. Perhaps you'll be a guest on a future podcast, or maybe I can help you overcome some challenges that are standing in your way. Just, I love to hear, or if you're getting value from the podcast, if you want to do a review too, that would be great as well. You can go to iTunes or wherever you are listening to this podcast. That would be helpful as well. So until next time, make it a great day and get out there and make your big impact.